Here on 90.5 with Darren and Jim on Spotlight, and we've spent the morning hearing the stories and the research that people are doing, and we now have Dr. Peter Haynes, the team leader, Procran Laboratory. Thanks for joining us, Peter.
Pleasure to meet you.
You've got a very interesting story, and we tend to break it up into two parts. Tell us about your journey up till coming to here in the sense of doing your study and what led to the areas that become really your professional career.
For me, I sort of stumbled into the science, to be perfectly honest. I wanted to do vet science when I was at uni, but I didn't get the mark. So I was looking through what I could potentially do, and biomedical science at UTS looked interesting, and the rest is history. So I stumbled into that as a Bachelor of Science degree, which is a three-year degree. Found I really enjoyed it. I then did an honors degree, which is an extra year on top of that, and thought, well, this is really interesting stuff because you do research. There you go into a lab. So it's not just straight lectures anymore.
And Peter, what was your, if you don't mind me calling you Peter, what was your research into? I mean, in the sense you get this love for research.
Yep.
And because you've done a PhD, listeners, and we'll talk a bit about that, but I would imagine that the honours degree led into your doctorate, that there was a link. What started to fascinate you at that honours research level?
I don't know if you've done your homework or not, but I did research into snake serum, so snake blood, which is, everyone thinks it's venom, but it's not. So basically, there's an agent in the blood of snakes, Australian elapids, so Australian venomous snakes, that protects them against their venom, their presynaptic venom, which is primarily the toxin that kills people in Australian elapid snakes. So obviously that's a really good and interesting topic that everyone thinks, snakes, that's fantastic. And it is. It's really interesting. And I did that in honours, and then I followed that up with three and a half years of PhD. So at one stage I had about 25 different types of venom available to me. So if you upset me, then, you know, there could be consequences.
That's fascinating, that what becomes really interesting and leads to the professional development and also the commercial aspects that tend to emanate for others from as a result of your research. And so that gave you the love of research, particularly at that high-end level.
Yeah, it was really interesting stuff because, I mean, the project is basically your own. You drive it. Your supervisor's obviously guiding that. But it's primarily you doing all the experiments towards the end, and you're designing the experiments as well. So it's very interesting work to be doing.
It's lovely when I hear people talk about it's interesting work, because that tells us so much about, really gives you a motive to get up every day and to try and find and to do things, because it is a challenge doing that level of study and to continue on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Congratulate you on that.
Thanks.
Going forward, you've come here. What's your role here now at CMRI?
Unfortunately, I'm not in the lab as much as I'd like to be at the moment. So it's more or less managing people. But I've had that vicarious research through all the people that are reporting to me now. So I'm basically in charge of, they're calling it Procran Laboratory. So that's the mass spectrometry side of things and also the histopathology side of things. So the people that are doing that work.
Well, Peter, we just had our mayor talk about the great times that he just had here. He spent an hour looking around the place. And I'd like you to tell our listeners what you're doing with Procran, because I think that's a really interesting concept and something that's going to deliver and continue to deliver great benefits.
So the idea with Procran is to basically get a picture or an image of different types of cancer that are out there using the technique. So that proteomics technique, which obviously we haven't addressed yet. But basically, we're going to get cancer samples from a range of different patients. So primarily children's medical research. So we're obviously interested in children's cancer primarily. And we're getting as much variety in those cancer types that we can. And we're using a standard technique to process the sample, and then we're running them under standard techniques. And so ultimately, the pictures you get from each cancer are going to be different, and that's going to tell us something about the development of the cancer and if there's a way in which we can treat the cancer. That's the long-term aim.
Okay, so then let's go back to that question about proteomics. What is that really entailing?
So basically, you get a biopsy of a tumor, and you can then take it and process it in the lab to break it down into its most simple form, which is something called peptides. So you start off with proteins in an intact tissue. You break them up with other proteins, as it turns out, into these component parts, which are called peptides. We then run those through our mass spectrometers, which basically gives us that ultimate picture of what that cancer looked like originally when it was in your body. That's the very simplified process.
It seems very complex, if I can say.
There's a lot to it, yeah. I mean, obviously, I've simplified it because there's a lot of jargon and a lot of knowledge behind all that. But essentially, You take a complex tissue, you break it down into its component parts, and you then separate those component parts, and you end up with, think of it as an image or something like that, and that should work for most people.
So, Jim, I know a bit here because having worked at CMRI for 20 years and actually helped to do the redevelopment of a floor in the tower for Procan, and it was very exciting. So part of the process where you say you take the proteins and you get the peptides, I know there's an important part, which is the mushing up, as you might say, in those barocyclers, if I've got it correct. That seems like a fascinating thing when you talk about how many atmospheres of pressure or it's being so much under the sea. Do you want to just share with our listeners just a little tidbit there of how important that mashing up process is and the sort of pressure that's used to help do that?
It's vital. So we use 45,000 PSI. So
what does that translate to as far as something that's
I don't know how to, I mean, the Mariana Trench is obviously where we're going, but I don't know what the pressures are under there.
So it's quite a high pressure.
It's probably a lot less in the Mariana Trench, put it that way.
Wow.
That's my gut feeling, but I'd have to double check that.
But that's just in a very small area.
Very small area, a couple of millimeters square.
Yeah.
So, and it's a pulsing. So you take it up to 45,000, you leave it 50 seconds, and then you release. And then you take it up and you release it up and release. So you're squashing it like that as a systematic squashing periodic. And there's enzymes in there as well that actually cut up those proteins. And basically that increased pressure speeds up the process. So normally this kind of thing is an overnight, so 12-hour process. We can do the whole thing in 30 minutes.
We've been talking and having a fantastic conversation with Dr. Peter Haynes, a team leader for Procran Laboratory at CMRI. We're going to go to a quick break and then we'll come back and find out more about what's happening here in this world.
Alive 90.5.
You're on Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren, and this morning we have with us Dr. Peter Haynes, Procan team leader at the Children's Medical Research Institute, where we are on site as guests this morning. Peter, before the break, we're talking about Procan and how you process the samples, a bit of the technique about what Procan is doing. Why are we doing Procan? Can you share a bit more of that with our listeners this morning?
It's really fundamental research. I mean, the long-term goal of Procan is to try and increase or improve the outcomes for cancer patients. So we learn more about the cancer, we have a far better chance of treating that cancer. And that's ultimately what we're trying to do. And I guess one of the long-term aims, so we're talking like 10 years, is to get a better test for the different types of cancer. Because there's a tentative term, CUP, cancer of unknown primary. So believe it or not, they actually don't know where the cancer originates in your body. And we're hoping that through the techniques applied in Procan, we'll be able to answer those questions. So be able to treat people better and hopefully be able to identify where those cancers of unknown primary have come from.
So also the early diagnosis of cancer, which in a way can personalise this medical approach. Because we hear about the term personalised medicine, and if I can put that to you, is this what we're talking about?
Very much so. Yes. I mean, you get the sample from the person, you take that biopsy and you run it through our system, and then you can say, okay, given the picture that we've got here, you're better off using these particular drugs to treat them. For someone else, it might be a slightly different mix of drugs to treat them. So definitely, it's all about that personalised medicine.
And so it's about getting the right treatment for the right person, for the right cancer, and saving them time in their treatment and hopefully making sure the prognosis is better for them as they go through their cancer treatment.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing. Petty, I think I heard you say we're not quite sure where cancer starts from.
It depends on the cancer. There are some cancer of unknown primaries. I don't know where it starts.
Yeah, okay. No, I was just interested because, I mean, all of the things are just fascinating what you do, and then you hear at a much deeper level the complexities of what you do. In the research that you're doing and all of those ancillary areas, scientists, what types of skills do they need in your particular area in Procan?
Flexibility. We've got a range of people. So it's not just the scientists. We've got the managers. We've got oncologists. We've got histopathologists. We've got all the basic lab scientists in where I'm working. Then you've got your data scientists that are working the actual data, so analysing the data. We've got a bunch of software engineers that are building the computing systems that we're actually using from day to day. So it's a very diverse group of people that are involved in Procan.
And so that hits home the concept of big data, looking at data and how that can be used as a source to obtain evidence.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, big data is a term that's often bandied about. There are some people that would argue that ProCan isn't big data because we don't have enough numbers of samples, but the data points we've got. So for every time you do a run on these things, you're looking at tens of thousands of peptides. But you're ultimately, we're running tens of thousands of samples. Some people don't consider that big data. Some people do. Depends on who you talk to.
So it's like tens of thousands by tens of thousands, which is getting to quite large numbers. And maybe just for listeners who might be knowing what a terabyte is on their home computer and maybe not, maybe gigabytes and terabytes, how many terabytes are you dealing with this data set?
So we're looking in the range of petabytes. When ProCan's done and dusted, that's what their calculations they're working on. So it's not just that original file that you build or acquire, it's then all the processing that occurs after that. So that's the range we're looking at and be able to store that amount of information.
So we're talking about some sort of, like people might call neural processing, where the computers are learning, and is that taking place in ProCan?
Yeah, machine learning, that's what the data scientists are doing, definitely. So we're cutting edge techniques for that kind of analysis, yeah.
So in effect, right across the scientific spectrum, including the data scientists, this is all world-leading as a project.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, we've just published in Nature Communications a fairly significant article that just shows that the work we're doing in Australia is world-leading. We punch well above our rate weight in terms of the size of the country and all that kind of thing. It's a fairly standard thing you'll hear across the board that Australia does very well, given the funding that we get and the population we have. We do extremely well in science.
So I understand that CMRI helps develop techniques that are required to do with ProCan. Have there been things that CMRI have done that has meant a shorter time in what you're able to deliver as outcomes that ProCan will achieve?
Absolutely. As you mentioned earlier, the building of level 5 ProCan, that would have been impossible outside of CMRI. It was done, what was it, a six-month period or something like that?
Yeah, 6 months.
It was just amazing. From the time that it was approved, the time it was open, it was all down to how well organized you did it and the fact that CMRI approved it and was able to do that. That's in a university. It would have taken years.
And that's such a fabulous place that CMRI is. Mm. And yes, we've talked with many great scientists here this morning, Jim. It's just amazing how much can be done in such an organisation here in the heart of Sydney, in Westmead, in this greater Westmead research precinct.
And that's as I've said to on countless times this morning, I'm absolutely delighted and congratulate and thank you, being all of you, for the great work that you do, because without you taking up your vision and mission of what you are capable of doing, we would be poorer for it. Our society would be poorer for it. So I thank you and your team on a daily basis that struggle to do that. One little final question, if I can ask. I'm very interested because, not being in this world, but I think it'd be interesting to look at research in plants, animals and humans. I mean, in the sense that I'm sure they give a different perspective of things. I just say that as a non-scientist. I mean, to say, look, we're going to look at these plants and they tell a story.
Well, we've heard of the snakes, of course.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's the only thing I don't like, and I didn't want to say that. But you know, just to think about plants, for example, Darren, how much of a story they can tell us. I find that amazing.
Yeah, I mean, everything is interesting in its own way. So,
What would you like to be seen for as have achieved across your life?
For me, it's not about personal achievement or being remembered or something like that. I'm just hoping that the work that we're doing can actually help people. So my father died a few years ago as a result of melanoma that metastasized, got into his lungs. The original treatment was going quite well, and then he just fell off a cliff. You know, he said, I rang him up and I said, I'll talk to you later. He goes, okay, fine. And 2 weeks later, he was dead. So he just went from good to no longer being with us. And I'm hoping that the work we're doing can help people like him and families like that. So ultimately, you know, that doesn't happen to other people.
Peter, thank you for sharing that with us, because I know how personal that is in the context of all the world that you take on a daily basis. So thank you for doing that. On behalf of Spotlight 90.5, thanks for being with us this morning. It's been a really delight to tell your story, and we wish you all the continued success in finding cures and helping others here at CMRI. Thank you.
Thanks, great for being here.